Now, 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verse 1. I'm going to read the first three verses. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is in Corinth. So this is a message to the church of God, which then preserved for us means it's a message for all the churches of God down through time. With all the saints who are in the entire region of Achaia, grace and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God, Hotheos, and Father, Pater, of our Lord Jesus, of our Lord Kyriou Jesu Christou, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. In Greek. Now, this is important to understand, because if it were a requirement for those speaking in other languages to use the sacred names, then it would be imperative that he use those here. But the fact is, he did use the New Testament sacred names, didn't he? The Lord Jesus Christ and the Father. Those are the sacred names of the New Testament. Now, you find that in every one of the introductions of the Apostle Paul. Now, let's ask the question, why? Comment was made in Spanish as Jesu Cristo. Yes. It shows the similarity of the Western languages to Greek. And that's why God chose Greek rather than Hebrew for the New Testament. Now, let's understand why this is. Let's come back to John, the 14th chapter. John 14. And again, whenever you're trying to solve a doctrinal problem, many times you come to some very fundamental scriptures which you use over and over and over again. Notice how John wrote this in the Greek. Now, let's pick it up here. Let's pick it up here in verse 14. If you ask anything in my name, Jesus Christ, Jesu Christu, or whatever it is in whatever language, I will do it. If you love me, keep the commandments, namely my commandments, and I will ask the Father, there's the sacred name, and we will see, because in just a minute, it's because we are an intimate spiritual relationship with God that was not available under the covenant with Israel called the Old Covenant. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that it may be with you throughout the age. Even the Spirit of the truth. So we're dealing in truth, which the world cannot receive because it doesn't use a sacred name. No, because it perceives it not, nor knows it, but you know it, because it dwells with you and shall be within you. Now, we're going to talk about the Spirit of God within us, because that has an awful lot to do with our relationship with God. Because whenever God has a covenant with people, he has the names that are for that covenant. Just like we saw with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it was God Almighty, or the Almighty God. With Israel, it was YHVH. With us, it is the Father, the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. Now he says, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. Then he says, yet a little while, the world shall not see me, but you shall see me, and because I live, you shall live also. And here's the key, beginning verse 20. And this ties in right with one of the scriptures we used at the first, which was, to this one will I look, who's a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. Verse 20, in that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Very important. And here's the key. The one who has my commandments and is keeping them, that is the one who loves me, and the one who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And then Judas, not Iscariot, wondered, well, now how's that going to happen? So he answered him, verse 23. He said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. Now notice not one word about a sacred name. We are now talking about a spiritual relationship by receiving the Spirit of God within you. That's the important thing. Now then it becomes heart to heart, mind to mind. Quite different than coming to a temple and offering a sacrifice to justify yourself at the temple, you see. Now notice the contrary of this, verse 24. The one who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Most important being in the universe. We're receiving his words. Think of that. A lot of people want to know, who is God? Where is God? What is God? Well, he's as close as your knees in prayer. Now, chapter 16 and verse 27. He also said, ask in my name, and I will do it. Now let's see what else he says here, beginning in verse 26, John 16. To show the relationship that God wants to have with us on a one-to-one basis. And please understand this. God is able to do this with an infinite number of people at the same time. Verse 26, John 16. In that day you shall ask in my name, the Lord Jesus Christ, and I do not tell you that I will beseech the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. Now, very important, what is a basic doctrine of Catholicism? You beseech Mary, who beseeches the Son, who beseeches the Father. You have two detours. And Mary's not in heaven anyway, see? So there you have it. The Father himself loves you and will answer your prayers. Now, if you don't believe that, take him up on it. Now, let's expand this a little bit further. Let's see Jesus' activity. First of all, let's come to Hebrews, the fourth chapter, and see Jesus' activity on our behalf. And why he is our high priest, and why we can pray in Jesus' name, and there are times when it's perfectly all right to pray to Jesus directly. It's recorded in the New Testament, especially the book of Acts, that the apostles did that, Lord Jesus. But we are to direct our prayers mainly to the Father. Now, Hebrews 4, and let's pick it up here in verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That's why we need the word of God. Okay. That's why the Bible reads as no other book in the world. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of both soul and spirit, and of both the joints and marrow, and is able to discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And let's add one other thing there that's important. And also shows the sins and weaknesses of those that God has used. Look at Abraham. Look at Isaac. Look at Jacob. Look at David. Look at Moses. Their sins are recorded so that we know that in God dealing with us, he is more interested in repentance. So when you sin and repent, that's why Jesus gave in the daily prayer, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, because we need this daily cleansing of sin every single day. Here's the reason why. Verse 13, and there is not a created thing that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Very interesting, isn't it? When I read that, it just, you know, this is why you can go to God in complete confidence and truth and confess your sins, beseech him, beseech the Father, receive help. He will hear you. He will hear you. He knows everything about you. And we'll see why he knows everything about you even more intimately than other people in the world. Verse 14, having therefore a great high priest who has passed into the heavens, Yahweh. Nope, doesn't say that. Jesus, the Son of God, we should hold fast the confession of our faith. For we do not have a high priest who cannot empathize with our weaknesses, but one who was tempted in all things according to the likeness of our own temptations, yet he was without sin. So he knows. Therefore, we should come with boldness to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Not one word about a sacred name. Not one word about a sacred formula. You come naked and bare as far as God's perception of you. And he is there to help, he is there to heal, he is there to listen, he is there to forgive, he is there to intercede, he is there to bless you. Now let's carry this one step further. Let's come to the epistle of 1 John, where he explains even more about this relationship that we are to have with him. He explains it in great detail. 1 John, the first chapter. 1 John, the first chapter. Let's just begin in verse 1. We'll go through most of the first chapter here because it fits in with what we are covering. That which was from the beginning. So we go clear back to the beginning, correct? That which we have heard. Not one word about sacred names. That which we have seen with our own eyes, that which we observe for ourselves, and our own hands handled concerning the word of life. Showing the intimate relationship that they had with Jesus while he was here on the earth. And especially John, because John was the apostle that Jesus loved. Verse 2. And the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and are bearing witness. So this becomes important because it talks about eternal life. And are reporting to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and which was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we are reporting to you in order that you also may have fellowship with us. For the fellowship, now this is as literal translation as you can get from the Greek. For the fellowship, indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and his own Son, Jesus Christ. Ho Pater and his Son, Weos, Jesu Christu. Those are the sacred names. But it is a family relationship through the Spirit of God. It is not a temple relationship where there was no salvation, as under the old covenant, with the exception of the prophets and some of the kings and so forth, they were only justified to the temple. Now let's continue on. Verse 4, these things we are also writing to you so that your joy may be completely full. And your joy is completely full when you understand what God is doing, correct? And this is the message that we heard from him and are declaring to you. Notice again, no Hebrew sacred names. That God is light and there is no darkness at all in him. If we proclaim that we have fellowship with him and are walking in darkness, in other words, walking in sin, we are lying to ourselves and are not practicing the truth. Now notice again, what do we have here? What do we have in all of this? Going clear back to the very first scriptural reference that we had. You've exalted your word above your name. And it's the word of life. Who's Christ? We have fellowship with him. That's what God wants with the Spirit. And we'll see how close this fellowship is to be here in just a bit. If we proclaim we have fellowship with him but are walking in darkness, we're lying to ourselves and not practicing the truth. However, if we walk in the light, the way we are to live, the way that Christ has shown, as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, that's the sacred name, his own Son, cleanses us from all sin. And if we say we do not have sin, we're deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins through the name of Jesus Christ to the Father, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the relationship that God wants us to be in. That's why it's called grace. For by grace are you saved. See, that's how it's done. Now, let's look at a couple of other things to add to this and show us what it is. Let's come here to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. And this is why growing and changing and overcoming, growing in grace and knowledge, growing in the Spirit of God, in the Word of God, the understanding of God, is so important. See, understand this. The Protestants always begin, but they never finish. They have altar calls to say, come and give your heart to Jesus. Well, that's the first step. Then there has to be repentance and there has to be baptism. But they always just begin. See, they begin with the forgiveness of sin and they end with the forgiveness of sin, and God wants us to grow in grace and knowledge and build the very character of God. And Paul is explaining it here. Now, let's pick it up here, 1 Corinthians 3, and let's begin in verse 4, after he says you're carnal and walking according to human ways, so he wants to straighten them out here. When someone says, I'm of Paul, and another says, I'm of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? So this is a great understanding we need to have for everyone who's an elder or minister or teacher, and which when I read this, I take a lot of correction and direction from it. Of ourselves, we have no importance before God because of us and who we are, see. But if we teach the Word of God and preach the Word of God and teach the brethren to have the right relationship with God, the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ, and those are the sacred names we should use, then we are helping them to build that relationship with God, and we are helping them to grow in grace and knowledge so that they can grow in the Spirit of God and prepare for eternal life. That's why we need to consider every Sabbath as a day of learning and preparing for eternal life. Think of that. Continuous education. That's why God has given us the minds that we have. All right, now back here to verse 5, 1 Corinthians 3. They are but ministers through whom you have believed, even as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. See? So we're to teach the word of God so you can grow. Therefore, neither is he who plants anything, nor he who waters, for it is God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's husbandry. Put in your margin there, John 16. John 16. I am the vine, you are the branches, my Father is the husbandman. Even God's building. Put in your margin there, Ephesians, the second chapter. Temple growing together. Verse 10, as a wise architect, according to the grace of God that was given to me, I have laid the foundation, another is building upon it, but let each one take heed how he builds. So we need to be careful how we're building our spiritual lives, you see. For no one is able to lay any other foundation beside that which has been laid, which is Jesus Christ. Again, no sacred names from Hebrew. Now, if anyone builds upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or stubble. Now, we have sermons on that. Gold, silver, precious stones are the spiritual qualities of godly character. Wood, hay, and stubble are the carnal qualities using the name of God and his word improperly. The work of each one shall be manifested, for the day of trial shall declare it. That's why we have trials. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall prove what kind of work each one's is. If the work that anyone has built endures, he shall have a reward. But if the work of anyone is burned up, he suffers loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet through fire. So even through the trial, God is merciful, even to those who build with wood, hay, and stubble. Now, verse 16 is the key. Don't you understand that you are God's temple? And that the Spirit of God is dwelling in you. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God shall destroy him, because the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So we are a temple of God. Remember what we read in John 14, where it said, Jesus said, we will come and make our abode or our dwelling place with you. So of God's Spirit, we have two aspects of it, the begettal from the Father and the mind of Christ. So that's something, isn't it? Let's come forward a little bit here to 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. And as we go through this and read this, I want to remind you again, Paul knew and understood Hebrew. And if the sacred names from the covenant with Israel of YHWH were required, he would have inserted it into Greek so we would have known. But the sacred names for the New Testament are God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, and as we will see just in a minute, the Almighty God. And how is it that we open our prayers many times? We say, Our Father, Almighty God in heaven, with Jesus Christ at your right hand. Isn't that how we do it? Yes. See? We'll see that in just a bit. Now, chapter 6, and let's pick it up here in verse 14. Verse 14, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and lawlessness have in common? What fellowship does light have with darkness? Remember what we read in 1 John, the first chapter, concerning light and dark. And what union does Christ have with Belial? And Belial means worthless men. Or what part does a believer have with an unbeliever? And what agreement is there between a temple of God, which we are, and idols, which we do not worship? For you are a temple of the living God, is exactly as God said, I will dwell in them. That's our fellowship. And walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So God is doing a magnificent thing with those that have the Spirit of God. Therefore, come out from the midst of them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch not the unclean, and I will receive you, and I shall be Yahweh to you. Now, he doesn't say that, does he? I shall be a father, pater, to you. And you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Now, since we're right here in 2 Corinthians, let's turn just a few pages over here to Galatians 3. Galatians 3 and verse 29. The last verse in Galatians 3. Now, if you are Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise? Question. What was it that we saw that was the sacred name for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? God Almighty. And we saw that back in the last verse that we just covered there in the previous reference. Now, let's look in the book of Revelation and let's see where the Almighty God is used quite a few times. Let's come here to Revelation, the first chapter. So we'll do just a little survey here. Revelation 1, and let's pick it up in verse 8. And as we will see, the Lord Almighty refers to Jesus Christ and the Father. Verse 8, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, says the Lord, Kurios, who is, who was, who is to come, the Almighty. Now let's come over here to Revelation 4. Revelation 4 and verse 8. Notice what the four living creatures in heaven do. And let's notice how this is recorded for us. Verse 8, Revelation 4, and each of the four living creatures had six wings respectively, and around and within they were full of eyes, and day and night they ceased not saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was, and who is, and who is to come. Referring to Jesus Christ. Now, let's look at another one. Let's come over here to Revelation 11 and verse 17. Revelation 11 and verse 17. Now, this is after the seventh trump is blown and the resurrection is occurring. Verse 17. Saying, that is the 24 elders who worship God, saying, we give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, who is, who was, and who is to come, for you've taken to yourself your great power and have reigned. Now notice, you have what? You have the four living creatures, and you have the 24 elders right before the throne of God. Don't you think right before and over the throne of God that they would use the proper sacred name in the presence of God? And what is it recorded in? Greek. Not Hebrew. Very interesting. Now, let's look at a couple more here. Revelation 15. Revelation 15. Now, this becomes very interesting, isn't it, here? And let's pick it up in verse 2. Revelation 15 and verse 2. And I saw a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who had gotten victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass having the harps of God, and they were singing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and awesome are your works, Yahweh. No, Lord God. Kurios, Theos, Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, O King of Saints. Now let's look at one more. Chapter 16. Chapter 16. Let's pick it up in verse 5. Chapter 16 and verse 5. Then I heard the angel of the waters say, You are righteous, O Lord, Kurios, who are and who was, even the Holy One, in that you have exercised this judgment, for they poured out the blood of the saints and of the prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another voice from the altar say, right from the very throne of God, you see, Yes, Lord God Almighty. Same sacred names as Abraham, right? Yes. Now, you can't be having any more sacred names that are being used than those right over the throne of God, can you? You can't get any closer to God. True and righteous are your judgments. Now, let's look at another thing. Let's see something else that is also important. Let's come back to Revelation 2 and 3, and then we'll finish by going to Revelation 19. Revelation 2. And let's pick it up here in verse 17. This is part of the reward. This is to all the churches now, remember. The one who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who overcomes, I will give the right to eat of the hidden manna. That's from the tree of life. And I will give him a white stone, that's a name that is symbolic of authority, and on the stone a new name written. So you're going to receive a new name too. Which no one knows except the one who receives it. Now, come over here to chapter 3. And let's pick it up here in verse 12. There are going to be other names given, too. Names fitting spirit beings, which we will be at that time. Verse 12. The one who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall not go out anymore, and I will write upon him the name of my God, Theos, the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which will come down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. So we're going to have a new name, and it will consist of several things, won't it? Very interesting. Now, let's come here to Revelation 19. Revelation 19. Now, if you want to really have access to God, then how are you going to do it when you don't know this particular name of Jesus? Now let's pick it up here, beginning in verse 5. And a voice came forth from the throne, saying, Praise our God, all you, all his servants, and all who fear him, both small and great. And I heard a voice like that of a great multitude, like the sound of many waters, the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty has reigned. There we go again, the Lord God Almighty. Now let's come down to verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on is called Faithful and True. Doesn't say named, he's just called. That's a characteristic of him. And in righteousness does he judge and make war. His eyes were like a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no one knew except himself. Very interesting. How are you going to have contact with God unless you know that? Only he knows it. He hasn't revealed it. If you want to know what that name is, make it to the resurrection so you will find out. Then we also find, we'll finish with just two other references here, Revelation 21 and verse 22. Speaking of New Jerusalem, I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. So the Father is called the Lord God Almighty, Jesus is called the Lord God Almighty, and also the Lamb. One more, chapter 22 and verse 3. And there shall be no more curse, and the throne of God, Theos, and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, which will be the new name, you see. And there shall be no night there, for they have no need of a lamp or light of the sun, because the Lord God, Kurios Theos, enlightens them, and they shall reign into the ages of eternity. So those are the sacred names we are to use. Jesus did not use the Hebrew sacred names. None of the apostles used the Hebrew sacred names, so they knew Hebrew. They used the Greek, and we have it translated in English, and that's what we use today. The overseas offices are Canada, Post Office Box 125, Brockville, Ontario, postal code K6V5V2. For Australia, Biblical Truth Ministries, GPO Box 1574, Sydney 2001. New Zealand, Post Office Box 242 Waihi, Waihi 2981. Republic of South Africa, Post Office Box 2624 Wilroe, Wilro Park, postal code 1731. United Kingdom, Post Office Box 8224, Witham, postal code CM81WZ, United Kingdom.